This is a production of Cornell University.
Hello and welcome to the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information, brought to you by the Cornell University Turfgrass Program in partnership with the New York State Turfgrass Association. My name is Frank Rossi. I'm an associate professor of horticulture here at the New York State College of Agriculture and Life Sciences at Cornell University. And the following are observations and recommendations for the week of September 21, 2009. The warm weather will continue for another week, providing ideal conditions for heavily trafficked turf and for golf courses trying to maintain superior putting surfaces. Having control of moisture at this time will also allow for overseeding and renovation. Check out the latest crane fly info as now is the time to scout. Consider using biosolid compost when establishing turf to help with stress tolerance, as research shows a hormonal effect. Also, as reported this week, it is time to look for crane flies, and if you have high-value turf, consider preventative options at this time. Just an announcement that the Cornell Turfgrass Short Course returns December 7th through the 11th, 2009, now at a new low price of only $500. Our forecast and forecast website and weather information from the Northeast Climate Center. Temperatures were slightly cooler than normal, about 3 degrees below normal, and no heat stress was reported region-wide. Degree days were still about 1 to 2 weeks behind last year, or about 200 growing degree days that we will not likely achieve, even with slightly above normal temps expected for the coming week, as we only accumulate between 10 to 15 growing degree days per week. Coastal areas were wet. Per day. Coastal areas were wet inland, were wet and inland dry. Upstate New York had less than a half an inch. As you move south and east, as much as 1 to 3 inches. ET was in the half to three-quarters of an inch range as days got shorter. Highs and lows in the soil temperature at the 2-inch depth were both in the 60s. And the forecast for this coming week, high pressure will dominate for most of the week, bringing cool, then warm temps as the week progresses. With the warm temps will come some chances of showers with a front coming through in the Wednesday to Thursday period. Temps will be about 4 above normal or in the mid to upper 70s for highs and 50 to 60s for low. And long-term models are calling for warm and wet conditions to persist. And with these conditions, disease risk for brown patch, foliar anthracnose are on the rise through the region. You can get more information about these particular issues at www.nrcc.cornell.edu/grass. The Cornell Cooperative Extension Update this week begins with Walt Nelson in the Finger Lakes, talking about adult crane flies abound and white grubs in residential turf raising concern. Sports turf surfaces are withstanding the traffic well, and generally a fall growth flush has kicked in. The Capital District and Dave Chinnery reports samples of brown patch in one of a mixture of Curvularia, Drexillera, and Anthracnose. There's still a good deal of interest in overseeding and lawn renovation, although time is ticking, and I think some folks believe they have more time than they really do. We also had a call from a commercial applicator concerned with a large population of springtails, which are going from a building into an apartment building, lawn into an apartment building. And Tempo and Talstar have not provided control. Our University of Massachusetts weed update from Randy Prostek, extension weed specialist at UMass. Crabgrass is well into seeding and will start fading soon. The microstegium is in the boot stage, that is, the flower is developing in the stem, and now is the time for mechanical removal with a line trimmer or scalping with a mower to prevent new seeds from being dispersed in the landscape. Also, we are in the ideal time now for single broadleaf weed herbicide application, especially for hard-to-control violets and ground ivy. Be sure the combination has some triclopyr as an active ingredient for complete control of these difficult long weeds. The sports turf update this week from Joanne Grudadario talks about improving field drainage. Safe, functional, and aesthetically appealing fields require a dense stand of turf to offer athletes good traction and playability. Many school and community sports fields have been constructed on native soils that may be relatively high in silt and clay. During periods of heavy rainfall, these types of fields are unable to drain properly and cannot hold up to high use conditions once the sports season has begun. Michigan State University offers an alternative to complete renovation of such fields and suggests the installation of surface drain tile system, followed up by sand top dressing to build up a sand cap system over time. Their work states that in 4 simple steps, a built-up sand cap system can be done for $58,000 to $103,000, which includes an irrigation system installation of $15,000. 6 to 20-foot drain tile spacing, $60,000 to $14,000, respectively, and 2-inch sand layer depth, about $28,000. The steps include cutting drain lines in the existing field running lengthwise, putting in drain tiles in the lines, backfilling with pea stone, and then sand or coarse sand alone. MSU suggests installing an irrigation system before the drain tile installation if one is not present, because turf grown on sand-based system will need regular irrigation. Be sure to correct any low or wet spots in the existing slope and repair any line damage followed. Once installed, an aggressive sand top dressing program must be conducted using a well-graded sand-based material, 90% sand, 10% silt clay. As you begin to estimate your budget needs for the next season, consider this option for improving field drainage. This information, developed by Kowalski, Crum, and Rogers, including cost figures, can be found at www.turf.msu.edu/assets/article/pdfs/e0007turf.pdf. The diagnostic update this week from Rich Buckley at Rutgers University talks about mechanical damage. Through the Labor Day weekend, we received a number of samples of damaged turf at a pace unmatched the rest of the year. The primary issue for most golf courses at the time was acute heat stress and mechanical damage from aerification and top dressing operations. Most of you know it's a common practice in the industry to schedule these mechanical operations in mid-August so the grass recovers and is playable for Labor Day tournaments and outings. Most years this is not a problem, but this year it was exceptionally hot and humid during the management window. We had nearly 100 samples of damaged turf in early September. A few plugs had evidence of pythium, some had a breakthrough of summer patch, and several had anthracnose, but most of the samples were simply diagnosed with acute heat stress and mechanical damage. The thing I keep wondering is, why not skip the operation if the weather doesn't suit? I'm not sure missing an aerification once in a while is critical to turf performance, but killing your grass due to the calendar surely is. The Cornell Insect Ecology Update from Dan Peck, our soil insect ecologist at the New York State Ag Experiment Station in Geneva, talking about the crane fly. It's important to identify first. It's critical to get accurate identification. Now, there are many native crane fly species. Collecting a sample and placing it in an envelope, mailing to Dan Peck's lab at Geneva, in Geneva, New York. The second is to determine which invasive species you have and then determine what control strategy you might employ, if any. For high-value turf, such as golf turf, you may want to use preventative control. The third step may be to intervene with a control option, if needed, such as preventive control, or possibly, if populations seem low, then wait for the curative application in the spring. Intervention with the crane fly, because of their relative sensitivity to dry conditions, careful manipulation of soil moisture levels may be a key cultural tactic to reduce populations. Some strategies might be to regulate the timing and frequency of irrigation, particularly during the overposition period, to drain chronically infested areas and to allow the sward to dry, that is, avoiding irrigation in the fall. Maintaining a vigorous stand that is more tolerant to infestation might also alleviate problems. For chemical control, the two main control windows are late fall and early spring. A late fall preventative application is recommended if populations of both species occur at the same time. Timing should be after peak emergence of adults in order to overlap the period of egg hatch and first instars. Since adults of both species emerge during a similar window in September, small larvae of both species would be susceptible to preventative insecticides, which would be now. Otherwise, curative applications for Tipula pallidosa can be made in early spring after scouting has assessed populations or once feeding damage is detected. Tipula oleraceae is probably not susceptible during this window because it pupates early in the spring and insecticides are not active against pupae. The aforementioned control windows, one being now, unfortunately do not coincide with other turf grass pests. The arrival and spread of these exotics thereby represents a worrisome new economic burden for turf grass managers. To identify the best chemistries for invasive crane fly control in New York, a series of field efficacy trials have been conducted against pallidosa. Based on consistency and efficacy, bifenthrin, carbaryl, and triclofan are confirmed as acceptable products for preventative fall control, followed by imidacloprid and indoxacarb that gave positive but more variable results. For curative spring control, the most acceptable products are imidacloprid, indoxacarb, and triclofan. And this is really great information to have right now as we are definitely seeing the invasive crane flies out there, but first get them identified before you intervene. And finally, my Gazing in the Grass article for this week focuses on biosolids enhancing drought stress tolerance. Biosolids are valued as sources of plant nutrients, soil organic matter, in the case of alkaline stabilized materials, liming agents. The addition of organic materials enhances the biological, physical, and chemical properties of the soil. Recent evidence indicates that biosolids may contain biologically active substances that enable crops to withstand environmental stresses, that is, drought, salinity, and pathogens, and or positively affect crop growth and quality. Researchers noted that hormones found in the rhizosphere can influence growth and that the physiological effects of these materials cannot be replicated by an equivalent application of mineral nutrients. Nitrogen availability was equalized among treatments in this study, and tall fescue physiological responses were measured under well-watered or moisture-stressed conditions. Treated biosolids improved turf grass quality and root mass under both soil moisture regimes and delayed leaf wilting under moisture stress. At the end of the second drought cycle, treated biosolids improved quality and photochemical efficiency, the way a plant produces energy, by 18 to 26% relative to the control. The data suggests that biosolid applications may alter the growth hormones IAA, which is auxin, and cytokinin content, and improve plant drought resistance. Thank you for joining me this week for the Cornell Turfgrass Shortcut Podcast, your weekly connection to turfgrass information. I'm Frank Rossi, Associate Professor of Turfgrass Science here in the Department of Horticulture at Cornell University, and I hope you have a great week.
This has been a production of Cornell University on the web at cornell.edu.